Oh, wow, man. How about Jeannie and PJ bringing it every single weekend? Something awesome. Well, hey, that's what we're talking about today. It's great to have you with us here. My name's Kerr, and I'm what they call a pastor here at Cross Point. And we're kicking off this brand new series today. We're really excited about it, called Love Dare. And today, basically, we're going to try to kind of debunk a mystery, maybe help solve a mystery, you know, whether you have been in love, whether you are in love, maybe one day you hope to be in love, or you've even thought about being in love. And the mystery is this: how is it that two people can, you know, stand at an altar and swear on their lives that they're going to love each other forever and ever and ever? You know, they're going to be with one another forever and ever, you know, together, you know, kind of like till death do us part. And then 5-10 years later, they hate each other. I mean, it's like they hate each other more than any other person on the planet. I mean, that's just a little bit weird, right? And I mean, this is a person they gave their deepest vow to that's humanly possible, and now they despise that person. And not only do they despise them, I mean, they cringe when they hear their name, and, you know, they can't think of anything good about that person, can't say anything good. I mean, that's just a little bit weird. And so I want to explain a bit of why that happens today. You know, something else we're going to try to explain today is, why is there such a thing called domestic violence? I mean, you know, those two words shouldn't even be together, right? I mean, domestic is like, I love you, I like to spend time with you, we laugh together, we have kids together, you know, domestic, we touchy-feely, you have my picture, I have yours, you know, fun. And so domestic violence is like, I want to hurt you, right? I mean, why would there be such a thing? You know, I mean, if you want to get violent with somebody, why don't you, like, pick somebody that needs to be hurt or something, right? I mean, why would you do that toward the person, which, by the way, you didn't hear that from me, all right? Put that aside. Nonetheless, we're also going to look today at how, you know, maybe you meet two people, and maybe you are one of those two people, and one of those two people or both of them say, well, you know, we're separating or we're divorcing. We just don't love each other anymore. And you press into that a little bit with them, and you say, well, you know, I'm betting that, you know, in a year or two, I don't know, you're going to probably want to fall in love again, right? And, you know, I mean, tell me, do you think you'll get married again at some point? And they say, well, you know, possibly, I mean, if the opportunity presents itself. And then you go to the other partner, and you kind of say, well, you know, isn't it true that, you know, at some point, you're going to want to love again, and you're going to want to get married? And they say, well, you know, possibly. Okay, well, so let me get this straight. So both of you can't stand each other right now, but someday you hope to fall in love again with somebody else and start a brand new relationship. Yeah, probably. All right, well, okay, I've got an idea because I think I'm kind of smart. You know, how about you fall in love with each other again? I mean, you got all kinds of stuff and kids, and it's going to cost a fortune to, like, split that all up. I mean, if you're going to fall in love with somebody, why not, like, try to, you know, fall in love with each other again? It's just going to be easier and cheaper. And they look at you or they look at me, and they're like, you don't understand. And you're like, okay, you're right. Apparently there are some things I just don't understand. And they've got a point. They've got a point I don't understand, and because I know it's not just that simple. So today, I want to try to explain to the best of my ability why it's not quite that simple. And here's the premise for this whole series. Is it possible for two people to come together and to love each other and to stay in love for the rest of their lives together? And you know, and this is something that kind of, you know, strikes a chord with me this week. In fact, I want to thank many of you. Many of you have known that my wife's mother has been ill over the last number of years, and she passed away last weekend. And many of you have expressed condolences and prayers. We greatly appreciate that. And this week, as we celebrated her life, man, I saw a picture of a couple that had been together 51 years, I believe 52 years, and a husband who cared for his wife till the very last breath. It was a beautiful picture. It was a beautiful time with our family. We're missing her still. She's a wonderful woman. But I tell you what, it can happen. But, you know, for many of us, we look at that like, well, our generation, I mean, it's just not possible. And see, here's the thing. Even if I told you that could happen, you know, or if I told you, well, there's no way it can happen anymore, you're going to go out and try it anyway, right? Because you're like, well, I want to believe that it's possible, right? I mean, we want to believe that if I just find the right someone, somewhere, somehow, out there in the universe, if I find the right one, I'm a candidate that could stay in love for the rest of our lives. And I really think this is the thumbprint of God on our lives. I think this is, you know, the thumbprint of God making us want to have that intimacy, that companionship forever and ever, which we just know it's just not that simple, right? And so I want to dive into this today. Now, I really do think it would be that simple if every time we came into a relationship, if we came into a relationship with a heart that was just full, with a heart that was just totally healthy, you know, like you and your spouse or you and your fiance came into that relationship and there had been nothing but awesomeness and amazing, you know, wonderful goodness flowing into your life up to that point. And, you know, like your dad showed up at every Little League game and your mom was at every recital and, you know, they were just giggly and happy all the time and they brought you into that kind of home. And maybe there were a few bumps, but everybody was always pouring into you goodness and your best friend was like the perfect best friend, and like nobody ever took advantage of you. Nobody ever, you know, abused you. Nobody ever mistreated you. Everything was great, and everything you experienced was awesome to that point. If you could enter into a romantic relationship with that kind of background, I think it'd be pretty, you know, pretty good assurance that you could like last forever, right? I mean, but the problem is we don't enter relationships that way, do we? I mean, we have what's called baggage, right? I mean, we come into relationships a bit dinged up. Like your dad, like he didn't come to every Little League game. In fact, he didn't even come home sometimes, right? And your mom, like you may not have connected the dots, but like she was like working her own issues out. Maybe dealing with identity issues or, you know, maybe there was some alcohol abuse or, you know, just abuse. And you know, then you had that like younger brother who was always like demanding the attention of everybody. And you were the golden child, but like nobody ever noticed because they that stinking younger brother. I mean, you know, we enter relationships with a lot of rejection in our lives. And we could sit around and have like a pity party, right? We're not going to. But here's the thing. You know, we come into romantic relationships with a heart that's got some baggage, and it's not always in great shape. In fact, the stuff we've experienced before that relationship actually comes with us, and we bring it into that relationship. So what I want to do today is I want to kind of illustrate to the best of my ability kind of what this looks like. I've got a couple I want you to meet. This right here is Mr. and Mrs. Mug. All right, so you can like see Mr. and Mrs. Mug. Hey, this is Mrs. Mug right here. He's like, hey, what's up, Mr. Mug? All right, Mr. and Mrs. Mug. And Mr. and Mrs. Mug, you know, they met right after they got out of college. And so, you know, they saw each other. He saw her, and he's like, whoo, man, look at that woman. And she saw him, and she's like, man, there's a guy with a degree, and he's handsome. And he's like, yeah, well, look at her. She's a knockout. So she's got that going for her, you know. And so they like, start dating. They start hanging out together. They get closer, and they are so careful with each other. I mean, they're like real gentle, and like he's trying to woo her, and she's trying to like win his affection, and they had a few bumps along the way, but nonetheless, I mean, they were just so careful. Everything was going great, and then one day they got married, and they were married for like a month, and all of a sudden, well, they'd been so careful, and they hit a bump, and like stuff came out. And he's like, what's that? He's like, I didn't know that you could bring that kind of stuff out. She's like, well, you have anger issues. I didn't know you had anger issues. And so he's like, well, I didn't have anger issues till you like bumped me and like stuff just keeps coming out. And so she's like, well, I'm going to see my sister. So she goes off to see her sister. And her sister says, well, apparently he's got anger issues. I mean, everybody sees it. We didn't know it, but you know, and he goes and, well, we don't know where guys go, but he goes, perhaps to find a mirror. You know, he goes, and he's like, I just don't get it. He's like, you know, we had a few bumps when we were dating, but I mean, it's like you bumped me, and this stuff just like keeps coming out. And she's like, well, when we were dating, it wasn't that way, but we argue. And now, this has been entertaining so far, right? I mean, you may not be learning anything, but it's fun. See, here's the thing. Mr. Mug, see, he thinks the reason the blue beads keep coming out is because she keeps arguing with him. Every time they argue, you know, stuff comes out. And Mrs. Mug thinks the reason the pink beads come out is because, you know, they're fighting all the time. They're conflicting. And so here's the truth. Here's what they're not seeing. Is the reason the blue beads keep coming out of him is because that's what's in there. And the reason the pink beads keep coming out of her, which you taking notes, and you'd be taking notes on this, all right? The reason the pink beads are coming out of her is because that's what's in there. All right? And so, you know, all of us, this is so important. All of us have stuff in us that you may not even know about until you get bumped and it comes out. And in fact, for many of us, we don't even have our really first big bump until we're in a romantic relationship. And so, you know, romantic relationships have this ability to bring like stuff out of us. And you may not even know it was there, but, you know, I don't know if it's like the permanence of the, hey, I'm going to be with you the rest of my life, and it's the intensity of that, you know, but it's like, you know, whether you're living together or moving in, whatever it is, your marriage, your partners, but we come together and we have the ability for stuff to come out, and you're like, oh my goodness, would you stop that? You know, we just keep having these moments, and here's the thing. This is why people who make the ultimate commitment, say I'm going to spend the rest of my life forever and ever and ever together, end up madder than that person than anyone else in the entire universe. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands if you understand what I'm talking about, all right? Because I think all of us, we get this, right? We get this. So the question is, well, what do we do about it? So what do we do? Right? And the answer is pretty simple, believe it or not. It's just something you and I don't pay attention to very often. So we're going to look at what the writer of the book of Proverbs talks about. And if you want to follow along, you can open up your CrossPoint app and just hit the Bible button. It'll take you right to this verse, Proverbs chapter 4. And Jesus actually reiterates this verse from Proverbs later on in Matthew 15. He kind of extrapolates on it, gives all kinds of examples of it. Now, Solomon, who writes this, he's the wisest guy in the world. And here's what he says. He says, above all else, which means of everything that I've said, this is more important than anything. So if you're going to pay attention to anything, pay attention to this right here. Now that's a lot coming from Solomon, right? Solomon wrote Proverbs, which is about relationships and work and how to interact in relationships and life. And this is a guy who wrote Song of Solomon, which is about sex. He wrote Ecclesiastes, which is about like when I get to the end of my life and I look back at everything I've done, everything seems a bit futile. I mean, this dude is like the wisest man that's ever lived. He's kind of covered the gamut, and he says, above all else, if you're going to hear anything, hear this one thing. Above all else, guard your heart. He says, guard your heart, which means pay attention to what's going on the inside. It means pay attention. See, in this culture, the heart was the seat of emotion. So the heart was like where all emotion came from. And he's basically saying, hey, guard your heart, which means pay attention to it. Guard your heart, which means keep the bad guys out. Pay attention to your heart, guard it, which means it's very, very valuable. Do everything possible to protect it. Now, if I were to, you know, just say, okay, we're going to go down the row, and I just want us to explain what it means to guard our heart. Why don't we start with you right here? You'd be like, whoa, I don't even know what I would say, right? And so if you're sitting there going, well, Kurt, I don't even know what it means to guard my heart. Chances are you're not doing it, all right? So I want to explain to you a little bit about what this looks like, all right? Because Solomon says this is the most important thing. If you don't pay attention to anything else I'm telling you, he says, guard your hearts. Now, here's what I've discovered, and you've probably discovered this as well, that what's inside of you comes out in the relationships that matter the most. I don't know if you've discovered that. I've discovered that. And typically, it results in blaming, you know, looking with the evil eye. How could you do that? Why are you bringing this out? And when in fact, you know, you could get into any other relationship, and we often discover the it keeps happening, right? Like four relationships down the road, and you know, bad relationships, stuff just keeps coming out, and all of a sudden we're like, I don't get it. I've been married to, or been seeing, or dating, you know, four different women. They just keep bringing the same stuff out. I need to find a different kind of woman. When lo and behold, it's actually inside of us, right? It's actually what's inside of us. And Solomon says you need to have a plan. You need to have a strategy for guarding your heart. So we're not very good at this. Now, let me tell you what we are real good at. All right, we're not good at guarding our heart, but we're real good at monitoring our spouse's behavior, aren't we? We're really good at that. And so, you know, if I were to ask you, what does it mean to guard your heart? You're like, I don't know. Somebody needs to help me. But if I were to ask you, okay, what's it look like to monitor your spouse's behavior? We'd all put our hands up. We're like, I've got a whole list of things I do. You know, and because we're not good at this. We're not good at this at all. And both of these are really, really important. All right, and so let me see if I can explain this. See, in our relationships as husband, wife, you know, fiancés, whatever it might be, the person to whom we love the most, what we typically do is when we're with them, it makes us feel a certain way. We feel valued, we feel cherished, we feel taken care of, we feel accepted. You maybe never made a list of these things, but if you were to write them down, you could write down some of the things that you feel when you're with them. That's why you married them, right? And so as a husband, wife, fiance, partner, whatever it is, your relationship elicits, you know, these kinds of feelings because of the way you interact with each other. You're careful. You try to be sensitive. You're wooing each other. You're trying to, you know, to woo the other to love you, to get them to accept your love and to love you back. And so what we start trying to do is as that kind of fades away, we start, and you don't even realize you're doing this, but sometimes the words and actions from the other person don't, they start to not make us feel the way we used to feel. Or maybe they do certain things and we don't like the way that makes us feel. And so we say things to them. You know, we were like, well, I wish you could do this, or you should start doing that, or keep doing what you used to. I mean, we have all these ways we start monitoring our partner's behavior and words. And if we're honest, the primary reason that we got into the relationship was because of emotion, right? We fell in love at some point. Right? That person made us feel a certain way, made us feel secure, made us feel accepted. They brought something into our life, and so we were drawn into that. And we're wired to want to keep that alive. And so what do? We monitor their behavior. We're like, well, if you keep doing this, then I'll feel a certain way. And we want that emotion. We want that adrenaline rush. We want that passion to keep going. So here's the problem. The problem is we come to depend on our spouse in a huge, huge way to create these emotions. I mean, I'm depending on you to make me feel confident. I just feel so confident when I'm with you. I'm depending on you to, you know, make me feel like I'm secure. I mean, when I'm with you and you do certain things, I feel a security that I didn't feel before. And these are all things that go on behind the scenes romantically. And these are good things. This is what happens in a romantic relationship. And so here's the thing. If we all came into this relationship with good, full, healthy hearts, you know, then we wouldn't have to worry about this. But the problem is we don't. What happens is we enter our relationships and we bring with us to the most important relationships things from past relationships. And those begin to bubble up. And what's going on the inside eventually comes out on the outside. And we see things we don't like. And we hear things that make us not feel the way we used to feel. And we tend to turn and blame and point the finger. And we say, you brought that out. When in essence, it was in there to start with. Now, here's the part that I think our experience will bear witness to, even though I really don't have the time to prove this point in the time left today, but I think we'll all agree that your ability in relationships to feel certain things is determined by the condition of your heart. In fact, even going forward, what your ability to feel certain things going forward from your spouse, partner, person you're with, whoever that is dictated by the condition of your heart. Which means if you came from a home where you didn't feel accepted, where you felt underappreciated growing up as a child, you know, and you enter into a romantic relationship, it doesn't matter how much that other person does to try to communicate acceptance and worth to you, you're going to constantly kind of have this, well, it just wasn't quite enough. Because the condition of your heart plays a huge role into you being able to feel love. And so, you know, this makes us start to monitor our spouse's behavior. And this is a vitally important relationship here. And yes, it is partly due to our spouse's behavior, but we have to identify, okay, what's the condition of my heart? The blue beads keep coming out, and I say, well, I wish you'd quit that. Quit bumping me. Quit doing these things. When in essence, you actually brought that into the relationship. Now, without understanding this dynamic right here, there is no amount of commitment that can compensate for any of this. Doesn't matter how committed you are. If you don't understand that you bring certain things,
That commitment will never be able to override this. You may stay together. You may say, well, we're never going to divorce. Or you might say, well, I hate the way he makes me feel. We're done. I'm leaving. I'm done. Well, their behavior is a part of it, but you have to accept and I have to accept that what's in me is a part of it as well. So listen to how Solomon, I mean, the wisest man who ever lived, listen to how Solomon ends this verse. He says, above all else, guard your heart. And then listen to this last part. He says, for everything you do, everything, he says, everything, including every relationship, romantic relationship, sexual relationship, work relationship, everything you do flows from it, flows from your heart. Which means that when you're in a relationship with another person, he's saying that relationship, any relationship, actually happens out of the overflow of what's going on in your heart. Jesus connected the dots on this. Jesus says we can be defiled by our hearts because he says whatever's going on in your heart actually comes out in your actions. And so if our heart is not in good shape, it's going to be almost impossible to maintain any sense of a healthy relationship. Now, what's fascinating about this is it's easy to see this in other people, right? I mean, you may have been with, you know, your fiance or your boyfriend, girlfriend, or your spouse, and you're hanging out with some friends, and they have a little spat in front of you, and, you know, you go home, and you're like, wow, you know, what do you think of that? And, you know, and you'll say something like, well, you know, I know he did the bonehead thing that was this, but, I mean, that was like a 3 on the scale, but, man, her response was like a 10. I don't get the, like, 7 deviation difference going on right here. She has issues, right? I mean, that's what we say. But when it happens in us, we can't see it, right? It's easy to see it in other people, but it's nearly impossible to see it in ourselves. So here's the bottom line. What's in you is going to come out in you regardless of who's with you. It's so important to understand this point right here. What's in you is going to come out in you. It's going to spill out regardless of who's with you. So we can interchange the faces, we can interchange the puzzle pieces, but the bottom line is regardless of who we're with, what's in us is eventually going to come out. So, you know, it's important to monitor our spouse's behavior, though I'd put that really low on the list. But it's most important to monitor what's going on in our hearts. So I want to give you some ways to do this morning. Each week we do this. Why don't you take out your connection cards, and on the back are some next steps. And I want to talk through a couple of these next steps this morning. And these, I think, will help us if we implement these things. I'm going to give you an exercise to do this week. And I believe that if you do this, it will actually help you pay attention to what's going on inside your heart. All right? Because we're really good at monitoring our spouse's behavior, right? I don't plan to teach on that during this series. I think you've got it pretty good. All right? But when it comes to understanding what's going on inside of us, this is really, really difficult. All right? And some of us even feel like, well, that's not even spiritual, Kurt. This is like a waste of time. Well, you might feel that way. Here's what's interesting. We're talking about what happens in your heart, which has everything to do with what's spiritual. All right, so here's what I want us to do. You know, and by the way, this is like part of the maturing process as a Christian. And even if you're not a Christian, I guarantee you, if you are still exploring faith and you implement some of these things, it will take your relationship to a different place. It doesn't matter your spiritual orientation. All right, this is just a part of what it means to help stay in love. All right, so you know you've heard it said, think before you speak. Right, you say that to your kids. You've heard it, think before you speak. Well, here's the first part of what I want to ask you to do. I want you to name your emotion, which means I want you to stop and think about what you're feeling before you speak. All right. And so, now, guys, let me walk us through this a little bit because I know how this works for men. All right, guys, go. What are you feeling? I'm feeling frustrated. All right, well, that's good. Okay, what else you feeling? Well, I'm just feeling frustrated. All right, we got that. Anything else you're feeling? Frustrated. I mean, so women understand for men, and sometimes we'll go, well, I'm angry too. I'm not too angry. I'm either angry or I'm frustrated. Okay, you got anything else? Those are both negative. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm happy. If I'm not frustrated, I'm happy. All right, so women, we got like 3 emotions, all right? Happy, frustrated, or angry, all right? And so, guys, I want to work a little bit. It's really important to be able to name our emotion. All right, and this comes natural for most women. All right, this comes very natural because we'd say women are more emotionally intuitive, not more emotional, more emotionally intuitive. All right, and I would argue, guys, that we're as emotional as women. We just, and maybe more so, we're scared of it. We don't like to deal with it. I think we're emotionally frustrated. We're always frustrated. So I want to walk you through and kind of increase your vocabulary this morning because these are some other emotions you might be feeling. And here's the goal. The better you can pinpoint exactly what I'm feeling and you can name it, the better you're going to be. You know, this is kind of like a journey to the heart. And some of you guys are going like, Gert, seriously? As guys, you want us to do this? Yeah. You know, Solomon was like a manly man, man. I mean, and if Solomon says guard your heart, we need to be guarding our hearts. All right, so here's a few of them. You may have experienced this. So you and your spouse, you have a little bump and stuff comes out. And you pause and you go, okay, what exactly am I feeling right here? All right, here's a bunch of them. Maybe it's anger. All right, we know that one. Okay, I'm angry. You know, maybe it's you feel left out. Well, you know, I just feel left out right here. I feel like, yeah, I'm angry, but I think that the root of my anger is I'm feeling left out. Maybe it's embarrassed. Man, I am mad as a hornet right now. Well, why are you mad? Well, it's because you embarrassed me. Right? You embarrassed me. That's why I'm mad. So it's really about being embarrassed. Maybe it's unappreciated. All right, ladies, you get so mad at him sometimes. And you know, but it's not just, am I mad? It's, okay, what's at the root of the anger? Well, when you do this or say this, I just feel unappreciated. Abandoned. You abandoned me. I mean, I thought we were together on this. I felt like you just left me out to dry. Out of control. I felt out of control. Betrayed. And man, I'm mad. Yes, I'm mad. But why am I mad? Well, I'm mad because I feel like you betrayed me. Picked on. Every time we argue, I just feel it's like pick, 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 pick. I feel like you pick on me. I mean, yeah, it makes me frustrated, but I feel picked on. Jealous. I feel jealous. This is a very, very hard one for us to self-identify. All right, very, very hard. You know, some of you ladies might say, well, you know, when your sister comes, I mean, it's not that I don't like her. I mean, I really like your sister. I really do. But I know I say little sarcastic comments. I know that I'm critical of her. But here's what I think it is. When she wears those cute little clothes and flouts them and flaunts them, and, you know, and I can't fit into those. I think I'm jealous. That's a hard one to come to right there. I mean, what is it? We have to name the emotion, and usually stuff's flying, and we're our minds kind of going in circles, but exactly what is it? What's the thing we're feeling? This is guarding your heart. And I've got to figure out exactly what it is I'm feeling, and I've got to identify it and name it, and then here's what you do next. And then secondly, you say it out loud. All right, you got to say it out loud. I want you to do this week. Every time you end up in a moment where you have a little bump, I want you. Now, if you may not be comfortable saying it out loud with the person you're with, just say it out loud somewhere though. Okay, I feel jealous. I feel like a failure. You know, every time your brother comes to town and he talks about how he has job promotions and he got to do this and go there, I just feel like, man, I'm a failure, and it frustrates me. But it's really about I feel like a failure. See, now we're getting somewhere. So you're beginning to discover and pinpoint exactly what it is that's going on in your heart. And the quicker you can identify that, see, anything that's left secretive or unidentified has enormous, enormous power. I mean, if you have an emotion going on and you have not identified, you say, well, I'm just angry. Well, there's a power, man. That's a powerful, powerful thing going on inside of you. It drives you. It drives what you say. It drives what you don't say. It drives, you know, where you go, how you disconnect from others. I mean, it drives all kinds of things. There's a power when we identify it, we begin to name it, we begin to say it out loud, it actually loses its power. Right? And the other thing we begin to discover is, oh, wow, maybe, man, this is more about like being a blue bead inside of me than a her bead. This is more about like what's going on inside of me. Oh, wow. Man, maybe I need to ask for forgiveness. I need to ask God to begin to do some work in my heart because there's some stuff going on in my heart. All right, so we need to identify it and we need to say it out loud. That's the first one. Another next step on here, Eric mentioned a few minutes ago, we're having this movie in the parking lot. I tell you what, if you are married, if you are in a good place in your marriage, if you're struggling in your marriage, if you are about to get divorced, you know, you're at the end of your rope, if you want to be married someday, I'd encourage you to come to movie in the parking lot. This is our first installment of this movie series. We're going to do a number of these over the next year. But let me tell you why we're doing Fireproof. It's a few years old. I had never seen it. And about a month ago, our building manager, Rick, came to me and he said, hey, Kurt, could I talk to you? And we sat down. I said, I couldn't sleep last night. And so I got up about 1:30 in the morning and I turned the TV on. And I started watching this movie about a firefighter. And it kind of drew me in and I started watching it. And by the end of it, he's like, it was really good. Have you ever seen it? And I'm like, no, people told me I should watch it. I should have watched it. Should watch it. You should watch it. Dozens of people told me. I never saw it. He's like, well, I was like tearing up a little bit at the end. Next day, day or two later, Rick like brought me the video. He bought it for him. He bought one for every one of his sons and the people in his life he's close to. And I thought, man, I gotta watch this. So Julie and I sat down to watch it about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And we started about 10 o'clock on a Sunday night. And, you know, first 10 or 15 minutes, I think I kind of had a guard up. I'm like, oh, man, I know how these all go. And, you know, I'm not really interested. About 15 minutes in, man, it sucked me in. And I'm like, this is good. This is, like, really, really good. Well, about 11 o'clock or so, we started at 10:15 on a Sunday night. Julie ended up, like, falling asleep on the couch. And, you know, I stayed with it. And she came back to watch it, you know, like a day or two later. We finished it together. But it really sucked me in. I thought, man, it's a powerful movie. And she woke up about 12:15, right at the end of it, and she kind of wiped her eyes. She heard me, and I'm like sniffling over there. There's tears going down my face. She's like, really? It's really that good? I'm like, it is. Oh, my word. This has had profound impact for the last 2 hours as I've sat here. I can't believe I haven't seen it. So we're going to show it to you. It's two tickets for you and somebody else. Man, make a date night of it. Invite your friends, somebody you feel like needs to come. You know, come park at 8 o'clock, listen to the monster ballads, whatever you want to do in your car. You know, you can tailgate out the back of your car, but, you know, movie night in the parking lot, I tell you what, it'll change you. It'll change you. Change me. Third thing, third next step is out of that movie, there is a book that is referenced. It's called The Love Dare. In fact, it's where we got the title for this series. And so if you are in a marriage that is in a good place. Julie and I are in a really good place, and I've started reading this about 2 weeks ago. Man, this is changing me. It's really growing me. It's into a whole new place. If you're in a relationship where you are struggling a bit, where you just want things to get better, I want to encourage you to pick up this book. Take the Love Dare Challenge. It's a 40-day challenge where you do a reading every day. It takes you 4 or 5 minutes, and then you have a challenge that you need to complete in relationship with your partner or spouse. And if you're at a place where you're maybe entering marriage, I encourage you to read this book, pick it up. It'll be great, great resources as you start your marriage. If you're at a place where the only thing left is to sign the divorce papers, and you're like, we're done, and I encourage you to pick this book up. Start it for 40 days. Come to the movie and see the power it had there. I know it's a movie, but listen, judges and attorneys started pointing people to this book instead of court because they said, you need to do this first because we believe it changes people. And you don't have to do this with your partner or your spouse. In fact, it's better that you don't go through it together, but it's an individual journey. So it doesn't matter if your partner or spouse wants to do it or not. Pick the book up. We've got about 50 of these here today. They're at Connection Point. You can pick one up on your way out. It's got a little card, and they're $8. You can. It tells you how you can pay for it. If you can't pay for it, then just take it. You can go to the button in the app that says the Love Dare Challenge, and it'll take you straight to Amazon. You can order it offline, order a Kindle version. And listen, this is not for the faint of heart. All right, it's called a challenge for a reason. It's hard. It's going to be very, very hard. But I tell you what, I have not seen anything in my 20 years of ministry that can begin to turn a heart like this book. And it's based on scripture. It's not just a book. It's based on principles God wants to build into us. So this is your last next step. And I believe when we do these, as we begin to walk some of these out, that like Solomon says, we will begin to experience what he talks about, where he says, above all else, guard your heart for everything. Everything flows from it. All right, let's stand. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we stand to our feet right now, I know this lands in a lot of different places for every single one of us this morning. God, for some of us, this explains the family that we were raised in. It sheds great light on where we've come from. God, for others of us, it explains maybe that past marriage. Maybe it explains the state of my current marriage. Maybe God, it gives us a goal to strive for. It lands in a lot of places. And God, I just pray that and ask that wherever we are on the spectrum, God, that you would help us to guard our hearts and to pay attention this week to what's going on the inside. God, help us to accept the fact that we live out of our hearts and that we brought some stuff with us into our current relationship. God, I just pray that you give us eyes to see things that you want us to see. God, give us the courage to move and respond in the way that we each individually need to respond right now. God, help us to position ourselves in a place where we not only can experience your love and love you back, God, but we can be in a place where we can love and operate out of a pure, a clean, a healthy heart to the people you've brought into our lives for the rest of our lives. Because God, we believe there's no space, there's not a single space in our lives that you can't meet, that you can't fill, and there's no place where we're so far away, things cannot begin to turn into a new direction. So we just ask and pray for that.